Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS.
For co-host V. Bonner, I'm Randy Eccles. Community Voices is conversations with neighbors, artists, and area business people, along with events you may have missed. Today, more from the Community Foundation for the Land of Lincoln's Next 10 Extra Series, activating the state fairgrounds year-round. John Strenstorfer and Al Grosvall moderate a panel that includes Jerry Costello, Marla Calico, and Cindy Hoy, sharing their expertise on state fairs and fairgrounds around the country and how we should grow our fairgrounds here in Springfield. Indiana State Fair Executive Director Cindy Hoy explains how fairground survival depends on rentals.
I will say in general in the fair industry, the survival of the fairs is highly dependent upon non-fair rentals. And so that's certainly an area, and what a difference it makes for the communities whenever we can focus on that.
Marla, you brought up the business of foundations, nonprofit foundations that reach out to try and get outside funding. I know Illinois has gone down this route also. I'm wondering if there are examples in your mind where states or exhibitions have been successful, and if there are any particularly good examples. And I would hope Cindy and Director, you would each feel like jumping in if you feel like it. But Marla, any examples people should be looking at?
Certainly. I think the one that we all look to in this industry was the number one leader, which was the Iowa State Fair's Blue Ribbon Foundation. It was the earliest that was started in my knowledge. It was launched in 1991. And certainly they have done tremendous, tremendous amount of work. It's run by a professional staff. I pulled up a couple of pieces of information just to share with you all. Since it first launched, they have put $65 million into the Iowa State Fair property and programming. Since its inception, they started, for example, one little thing. You know, you can talk about your $2 million donors, and they have those, right? That they name the buildings, create the buildings. But if you would go to their report and look at the number of people that give $100 a year, it goes on for pages and pages. They do events. But one of the neat things that I think reflects the entire state is on your taxes as an Iowa citizen, you can make a contribution in the corndog checkoff, They've raised $2 million since the 1990s just doing that. So it's a little thing, but it's great. They are the largest. Net assets are north of $7.5 million. The other two I think that come to mind, certainly Indiana State Fair, and I won't speak for Cindy because they have a great foundation there. The Minnesota State Fair has a relatively young foundation, but it's been very aggressive in all that they do. It is a $3.5, $3.6 million asset foundation. Again, they have this mix of the large named money donors, as well as just individual citizens who make these commitments. But I did just a little quick research. If we look at state fairs that would typically be in the general model of the Illinois State Fair, the Indiana State Fair, there are 14 that have some sort of a foundation. Most of them are relatively new. So this is the new wave where they're working.
We have a corn checkoff in Illinois, but we don't have a corn dog checkoff. Cindy, thoughts about the foundation question?
Yeah, our foundation is relatively new. We developed it, I think it was 2006, 2007, but it was a primary driver to our Coliseum renovation, as you referenced, the $63 million project. We raised $10 million ourselves from it. What we found with the foundation is that if there is a specific cause, people will rally for that specific cause more than just Iowa's found incredible success doing that. If we're raising money for what used to be the sale of champions, then people just jump on board with it. If it is a bricks and mortar type project, that also we had raised money for a covered bridge and a number of different things. And we have since created a dinner where all the funding goes to support the 4-H livestock kids. We keep learning. I mean, we're still in our infancy, but it is something that is a very much of an asset for these fairs to have a foundation.
The lesson seems to be to make it for a specific project or a specific theme.
That's what we found success with, yes.
Jerry, thoughts about the foundation?
In 2016, Representative Butler, who represents Springfield, brought the bill out for the Fairground Foundation. I was the chief co-sponsor of that bill as the chair of ag. And if I'm sure you remember that 15-16 time period was a pretty hyper-partisan time period. So I was actually the only Democrat who was a co-sponsor of that bill. And if that tells you anything about how I feel about foundations, the public-private partnership, and I think we all saw that monies were not being put into these facilities, especially knowing that a lot of these buildings are older. It was something that had to be done, had to be created. Number one, I want to thank John Slayton, who's the president of our Illinois State Fair Foundation. He does a great job, as well as the foundation. But it's very, very young, being formed in 2016. That being said, there are a number of things that the foundation has helped us do, anything from lighting to fans in some of the buildings. They're getting ready to pay for seating in the Coliseum. We're off to the right start. It's a very young foundation, but it's absolutely someplace that I am concentrating, trying to help and recruit some more, hopefully, donors and private partners.
This question about expanding use on the fairgrounds. And Cindy, I want to turn to you and ask you, we've heard a little bit about some of the expanded use on your fairgrounds. What do you think the key is for expanding fairground use and making the fair more economically dynamic? What are your thoughts about what the keys are to expanding that use, particularly to the non-fair time? You know, we focus on 10 days, but there's another 355 days.
I think it is understanding that is your vision within your institution and your organization. And if that is the vision that is set up, whether it's from the governor or whether it's from your board or commission, to establish that direction for us, it just makes good economic sense. Having that revenue stream throughout the year versus a single time. We've done strategic planning, which is, I'm sure everybody is familiar with that, and develop a business plan, but it is looking at the property maybe with a different lens than we've looked at it before. Instead of thinking about it just as, you know, Easter Sunday crowds, we look at it as what else can we do with this building and look at it a little bit differently than we have before. But it is very much a strategy and a vision that we carved out years ago with the end game to start funding some of our capital projects ourselves, instead of being so reliant on the state to help us. We have this vision, we have a roadmap. It's thinking differently. Instead of having a horse barn sit empty, there is a thing called last mile in the supply chain that maybe the building can be used 3 months out of the year as storage in a supply chain last mile. Constantly thinking differently than maybe we had before. In everything that we're talking about, it's telling that story and putting people behind it, like hearing how Jerry helped develop that foundation. Hearing John talk about his memories of hearing Willie Nelson, is having all those parts and into a story that you can keep on telling.
Marla, thoughts from your perspective?
The real success stories come when that fair as an organization looks at this stream of activity and rental business as a separate business. And you think about the assets that you have to deploy before you ever begin to think about infrastructure improvements. What is it? You've got multiple entries so you can handle traffic. You have scads of parking, right? You generally have some good access throughout with the arteries and things like that of traffic throughout. You may even have staff that already knows how to do critical event business. But you have to treat it like a business. You can't just like open up and give them the key and say, go have it. You have to run this like a business model. And the fairs that do that, where they have dedicated event managers, maybe that event manager has another role during the fair, but you focus on running it as a business and maybe just starting sometimes with what do we have to deploy that fits a unique market. At the fair I managed one time, we had an opportunity for a Midwest regional timber show because we had both inside facilities where they could do trade show booths, but we had outside space where they could do demos. The convention center downtown couldn't handle that, but we could. And we had a secure perimeter. So think about how you can deploy for the unique event set, but also run it like a business and then plow that money back in to improve the facilities. One of my favorite stories is visiting at Indiana State Fair in the dairy barn and looking at the renovations. And it was this one time I saw it was this huge lawn and garden show. I mean, it was like the best of the best lawn and garden shows that was taking place. But then I went back another time and it was being used, Cindy, I think for testing, like some type of, there were tables everywhere so they could spread people out. So, you know, here you've got the weekend business, but then you've got midweek business that you can build on. You have to really be creative about taking the space, which is a tremendous asset, and then deploying it in a unique way.
Jerry, thoughts about this question of expanding use of the fairgrounds?
I couldn't agree more. And it's something, you know, as I said, I came in March 2nd, March 17th, we went into the COVID period of operation. So the last 6 or 8 months, some of it's been improvise, adapt, and overcome, and dealing with food supply chain, a lot of issues that we didn't expect to deal with. The Illinois State Fairgrounds here, especially for horse shows, is just an extremely unbelievable venue. We have the World Palomino Show. We are just landed the World Appaloosa Show, which will come in 2022. We had an antique truck show that was coming this year, which would have brought in tens of thousands of people. They actually rented out the entire fairgrounds. That, unfortunately, was postponed to 2022. They do it every 2 years. It's the largest one in the country. Things like that you have to do. Obviously, we have the Springfield Mile, which I think pretty much everyone in Springfield is familiar with. It's a historical event. How do you bring more of those types of events to facilities like this? How do you highlight it? You do it well, and then the networking, word of mouth, some of it, especially between groups like horse shows, you do those well and they build upon themselves. Another thing that we have here at the fairgrounds, and I think you're aware of this, we have dozens and dozens of weddings. A lot of times we could have 4 weddings going on a weekend. And maybe those weddings bring in 200 or 300 people, 100, 200 a piece. All of that has a major impact on the downtown Springfield area and the surrounding area. In order to be successful as a facility and in order to be successful for the community, those are the events that you have to capture other than the 10 days when you actually have the state fair.
Director, what are the strengths of our particular state fair or our fairgrounds? Particular things that stand out in your mind?
There's a number of things as far as strengths. Obviously, our track, we just talked about the Springfield Mile. It's known as one of the fastest tracks in the country. Yep. The same for trotting, exact same scenario. So horse racing there from a horse show venue scenario, I'm told, and by going down, we've done horse shows this year, but unfortunately, we weren't able to have too many spectators. What I hear consistently is we have one of the top 2 horse show facilities in the country right here in Springfield. So those are things that we have to build on, as well as trying to get some of the other ancillary events and move forward.
Some of the buildings are particularly unique. 35 years ago, I think it was, Governor Thompson saved a building, the Artisans Building, from being destroyed. Sure. And restored that building. And that is one of the nicer buildings for having events in Springfield.
When we talk about weddings, that is the building that's requested. Your point, it's gorgeous.
That building was very close to disappearing. Let's talk about state fair infrastructure. We are lucky that we've got an awful lot of historic buildings, some really unique and attractive buildings. But that also represents a challenge. Oftentimes, at least historically, they were not handicapped accessible, and there were other issues with the buildings. What are some of the challenges that you're facing with regard to the capital needs of the Illinois State Fairgrounds? Do we have a pretty good sense what the backlog of projects might be at this stage?
we've got a pretty good sense of it, but having buildings this old, there are always things that pop up. There's a five-year plan, and it's a pretty extensive plan. It's important for people to put this in perspective. We have on the grounds here 177 buildings. The exposition building was built in 1894. The grandstand was built in 1927. The dairy building was built in 1903. The Coliseum was built in 1901. The horse, cattle, and swine barns were built in 1912. And then the multipurpose arena was in 2000, so kind of a gap there. When you talk about the different infrastructure needs, rehabbing, maintaining, it's a, the architecture is beautiful. Maintaining these buildings, the tradition is incredible. And it's very important that we do maintain them. But there's a cost of doing that business.
Illinois Department of Agriculture Director Jerry Costello notes many Illinois State Fair buildings were built more than a century ago. More from the Community Foundation for the Land of Lincoln's next 10 extra series here on Community Voices, activating the state fairgrounds year-round. John Stenstreffer and Al Grosval moderate the panel that includes Jerry Costello, Marla Calico, and Cindy Hoy, sharing their expertise on state fairs and fairgrounds. When we return, how partnerships are the future of fiscal sustainability.